So good to be with you and to be kind of continuing this series that we started called Back to the Basics. And we started a few weeks ago talking about, boy, in this time and in this season, how important it is for us as a church, how important it is for us individually to say what is the most foundational core thing about us. And it is that we are a people and we are people about Jesus Christ. Amen? That Christ is primary and He is the reason we live and He is the motivation, the power, the hope, the strength, the definer. And that does not just stay in our worship when we come together or what we are talking about. It actually becomes the key that unlocks everything. We started last week talking about how Christ must be primary in marriage. And this week, I would like to go a little deeper into the weeds on that. And I would like to talk about, man, how can Christ be in the middle of marriage? Many of us have heard funny little antidotes about, you know, like verbal antidotes about, like, you know, what makes marriage work. See if you can finish this one. Happy wife, happy... We all hear that. Is there some truth to that? Yeah, amen. Bob, thank you. You can talk about that later in the car if you want to. Let me say it in a more negative light. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. We all know this. I heard one that I cracked up about. Thought I'd share this with you. It's a little poem. It says, if you want your marriage to sizzle with love in the loving cup, whenever you're wrong, admit it. And whenever you're right, shut up. There's some wisdom there too, isn't there? It's like, you know, we would say that, but how many of you know that if you are going to glorify God in this world between two different individuals coming together to be one, you're going to need more than conventional wisdom. You're going to need something with the strength, the power, the wisdom, the grace, the hope, the authority to provide security, enough security for change to happen. Especially if the end goal of your marriage is not just survival, it is the glory of the God who allowed you to get married, and He has a purpose in it. How does that happen? How is God going to let that work? Last week, we realized that there were two primary tools that God wanted to use in our marriages, and He gives them specifically, though we are all called to submission. That is God's plan for all of us. Get under, get low. Get humble, but specifically to wives, He says, be submissive. But then He goes to husbands and He says, now you husbands sacrificially love your wife in the same way that God loved the church. Let me tell you, submission apart from Christ is impossible. Sacrificial love apart from Jesus is impossible, but both these tools have been given to us, so it is insane to think that we can even operate them without Jesus Christ being in the middle of marriage. At least theoretically, do we all agree? Okay. So today, I want you to know that I don't intend to finish my sermon. Now, ladies, you are the topic. You married wives or thinking about marriage, this is going to be directed largely at you. Why? I've preached it four times. There's no way I finish it. And I want to give equal time, so men, I am going to reference you today, but we're going to talk about this first aspect. We're going to go deeper into this concept of why does God call a wife to be submissive to her husband? If you have your Bible open, look at Colossians 3, verse 18. And I sort of tremble anytime I do this. And I bring this caveat one more time. If you're married today, I couldn't talk about a more personal subject. I couldn't ping your heart more than bringing this up today, especially for you ladies who are married. Because so much of your world is impacted and flows through this relationship. And so the good of what God has given you, the hard of what God has given you. The content, the discontent, the hope, and the languishing. It's all there. So as I say that, I just want you to understand that I'm praying for God's grace over all of us as we talk about this, that we would even have a freedom. Last week I asked your permission to lift up this topic and to set it free from so much of what the world would tell you and to say, okay, God wants you to do this thing called submission. Verse 18, he says, Paul says, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. If you were to go to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 22, you'd find the parallel passage that says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. What do those passages tell us? Ladies, God is not asking you to be subject to men in general. God wants you to be subject to your husband, the one God has placed you in relationship with. Now, there are principles in the church and all that. We're not talking about that today. But he gives two very clarifying things. This is your husband. This is your relationship. And all of it is connected to Jesus. So that if we take up this topic outside of Jesus, it does not make sense and it has the potential to wound you greatly. But it is only within the context of Christ that you can move forward on it. What is God asking of the wife in marriage? Well, first and foremost, he says that submission must be for the sake of Jesus. Submission must be for the sake of Jesus. Meaning this, ladies, your husband is not a good enough reason to submit. If you say amen, it's on you. But he's not. Now, don't get me wrong. Our culture has so abused and demeaned men and would like you to think by everything that you read that they are not necessary. And yet God says you are incomplete without him if you're married. So before we go down that road, he says, okay, do that. And he wants you to be subject. We talked about last week that submission was a willful relinquishing. It is you, wife, choosing of your will to relinquish yourself to what? And now I want to give you a definition. It's up there. And you can read this with me or listen to me. What is submission? John Piper actually wrote this. I thought it was helpful. Submission is what? To recognize and honor the greater responsibility of your husband to supply your protection and sustenance. Be disposed to yield to his authority in Christ and be inclined to follow his leadership. When you go into the New Testament particularly, what you find is that God has asked a man, a spiritual man, a born-again believing man, to provide for both the physical and spiritual well-being of his bride in such a way that he actually reflects Christ's love of the church. And God wants you, wife, to be on board with the plan. He wants you to willfully choose to trust God's plan for the way that marriage would work. He says it is part of his plan for this format to be followed. Again, last week we talked about having nothing to do with your worth as an image bearer before God, nothing to do with your right, nothing to do with your personhood. It is to say, when marriage functions this way, it looks like Jesus. It looks like God. Now I have to ask you this question. If you put aside the biblical, what in the world, why would you do that? Why would you willfully choose to do that? And what is some of the pressure against choosing to do that? Ladies, how many of you are aware he's not like you? There's so many great moments in this. We're just gracious. And without demeaning anything, can I just reference some of the specific difference? These are generalities. What I'm about to tell you is a generality. Doesn't mean it functions this way in everybody's experience, but in general, One of the gifts of God is the way that He has wired a woman to be relationally intuitive. God usually has placed, and usually it is the bride in a marriage who has a relational awareness of why things aren't quite working as well as they should. She is tuned to relational. She is wired for relationship in a way. How many of us men know we tend to dwell in the realm of analytical a little bit more? We may be very tuned to relationships, but it's in steps and categories. And the way we come at it is different. All I am saying is that often, the wife is relationally ahead of the husband. That is no knock on your wisdom, your intelligence as a man. It just means that so often the wife is intuitively aware of where this thing is at relationally and wired to read why it is bogging down. Now here's the hardship. That's an easy thing to say. Would we generally agree with that sort of true? Generally true. But that generally true thing is the most painful place in marriage for a wife. How can you submit to a guy who's as dense as a doorknob? I said that in love, man. I mean, he just doesn't get it. How many different ways can you bring it up? How many different ways can you ask? How many different ways can you tiptoe around this and somehow put your heart there out in front of him and he's just not reading the room? And he's not pursuing your heart. How can you submit to a guy who just doesn't get it? And at least he doesn't get it at the same pace you get it. Well, that's sort of funny and we smirk about it, but it leads to some of the most painful, lonely, frustrating places in a wife's life. Because she knows she got married to be a partner. And she feels like she's either failing or being held back from what God called her to be. Now, why in the world do you submit when His pace is different than yours? Even a godly man. Why would God call you to do that? Well, I want to give you some insight into this. How is this turning into something powerful and releasing as you move into marriage? Let's begin with this. If submission is for the sake of Christ, then the power that motivates your submission, ladies, must be first and foremost a love for your Savior. If you make your love for your husband the issue of your submission, you're dead in the water. Why? Very simply, he's not done yet. Amen? And he is like you. He's a man in need of sanctification. And if you make his performance conditional on your submission, then submission is going to stop. You're going to be very tempted to pull away from that calling. One, frankly, because it can be painful, hard, frustrating. But God says, this is something, the Scripture says, as is fitting in the Lord. Ephesians 5:22, as to the Lord, meaning that the Lord is your motivation for submission. Friends, it is the same way in sacrificial love for men. I have told so many young married couples before I pronounce them man and wife, you need a better reason to love than each other. You cannot be the hero of your marriage. Not that you shouldn't strive to love and go deep and all these wonderful things, but if you become the issue of your marriage, you're stuck. But when Christ and how He has loved you and His sufficiency and power becomes your motivation and reason for submission, everything changes. Two caveats. Here's the first one. When Scripture says, ladies, you submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Let me tell you what that means and it doesn't mean. It means that you submit to Him out of a motivation for the character and the person of Jesus Christ. It does not mean you submit to Him as if He's Jesus. I mean no offense, men, but you are not Jesus. You're not. But there has been so much abuse in marriage when men take this and think that simply because you are the man in the marriage that she is to submit to your every whim and passivity, we are wrong. She is called to submission on the basis of Jesus and out of a love for Christ. And honestly, if I take that, that removes the realm from abusing that, guys. And it's so easy to abuse that. I'm a guy, get my way, you know. No, there's no place for that in marriage. But on the flip side too, it is so powerful in a woman's life and in her heart when Christ becomes the reason you're submitting. I just want to challenge you gals. Here's a little Bible study opportunity for you. I challenge you to go through the New Testament, anywhere you go, and find one instance of any woman responding poorly to Jesus. Can you think of one? There's not one. There's not one instance where when a woman encounters Christ that it is not transformational. Why? Because He is the answer to all of the heart questions that a woman has. When a woman encounters Christ, she suddenly experiences in His masculinity, in His love, in His perfection, in His honesty, in His patience, in His directness, even the way He confronts her, what is the instant response to the heart of the woman? Security and transformation. Every time. Because Christ is the ultimate bridegroom. And He is the one who meets needs. Now guys, here's the good news. God wants to move in your life and my life to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Here's the problem. So many of us as men want to be the hero in our marriage and we're not content to share the stage with Jesus Christ. Sorry, I was getting a little passionate. But it's deadly. But gals, when you encounter Christ, you encounter the security you need to live in your marriage with a submissive heart. Because it is based on Christ. That is not a diss against your husband, but it is a training that gives your heart such freedom. So the first question about submission is not about your husband, and it's not first and foremost about you, it's how your relationship with Jesus. How big is Jesus in your mind and your heart? Because ultimately, the Lord is the one who never changes. Amen? The Lord is the one who loves you from the uttermost. The Lord is the one who has promised all these things. He has plans for your husband. But just as Christ must be the security for every man, He must be the security for every woman. And He, in love for Him, unleash submission. No one, nothing else will do it. Nothing else will do it. And if that becomes, gals, if that becomes the pattern in your life, then all of a sudden this sweet thing happens. You stop functioning in marriage like it's up to you. And you begin to lean into this next one. We do this with a love for Christ, but we also do submission with in the power of Christ. If you were to go over to Ephesians chapter 5, you read there in verse 18, a verse you've probably heard many times. It says, "Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Do you know that's the precursor to the whole passage on marriage? It means this, that the things God has called us to do are impossible if they are not done in His power. If they are not done in reliance upon the Holy Spirit. God wants you as a wife not to submit in your strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. How does that look different? It is literally you growing in your relationship with Christ and starting the day going, "Lord, this man's pace is driving me insane. You know the merry-go-round. I feel like my heart is on this moment. I just want resolve. I just want peace." These are not wrong things to long for. I just want partnership. But God, not everything is where I want it. Today, Lord, would You let me rest in Your strength? Let me respond. Holy Spirit, help me to love my husband today. Because guess what, ladies? The most powerful thing that will happen in your marriage is not that your husband will change that day. It is that you experience the living God, Jesus Christ, in that day. What if you, in the middle of the hard that you so want to escape that often comes up in marriage, you saw more of your Savior. Oh, God has the power to change, but the sweetness of change is you and your husband knowing Him better. That is deep waters. That only comes, by the way, in this land called submission for the heart of a woman. It's you knowing Jesus at this deeply personal level where you're asking God to invade your heart, strengthen you for a task, change the way that you operate. Here's some truths that I know, ladies. God has not given you the power or the position to change your husband. He's not given that to you. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? See, here's the great temptation. When we come to something like submission, or frankly, guys, this could apply to us in sacrificial love. We love Jesus Christ, right? You're a believer here today? Thankful to be saved? And inside yourself, you're like, okay, I want to do it God's way. How many have ever done that? Today, I love for the sake of Jesus. You know, I'm just going to do it. It's Nike. You know, just do it. You know, let's just get on this, and we're going to be spiritual. But somehow, what you think is that you're just going to will your. I'm just going to do it today. And you know what? Maybe you do it for a day, and maybe you even get to the end of a week, but eventually you're exhausted. And in that moment of despair, because it's been being done. Easy doesn't happen whether it's the Lord's plan or somebody else's, but when it's in our strength, we get exhausted, and then the problem is you decide to apply pressure so that you can change him. Here's what I do know. You know the man you married better than anyone else on the planet. And you know where to press, don't you? You want us to move? Some of you, it's like we're a marionette puppet. Bing! Oh, you know my heart. You know what I'm afraid of. You know what frustrates me. My wife, I mean, she could read me like a book. If she wants to yank my chain, she knows how to do that. And you wives do too. I'm just going to withdraw from you this far. Well, that'll get him moving. I'm not going to speak. That'll get him nervous. Just go down the list. And it's so subtle sometimes. What is behind that? You started with a longing for His good and for the good of your marriage. And somewhere along the way, your strength didn't cut it. And so now, out of a desperation, I will push, pull, yank, tug, shove in my own strength. And here's the thing. I'll just be honest with you. We live in the age of male passivity. To be a man is to be the enemy of culture. To be an intelligent male who's purposely leading confidently his family is to be out of touch with reality and gender equality. And you should just shut up and nod your head, men. And we have trained guys, and we're training them from boyhood how to be passive and just try to keep the peace. Not that I have an opinion about that, but it's true. And you know what will happen in these days, ladies, when guys don't have a clear picture of what male headship looks like? He's going to go along with you. And you can get him going. And you can push. And you can watch him go. But I will tell you, every day his heart is retreating from you. He's backing away. He's coming along. And the very thing you want most, because ladies, am I telling the truth? You want his heart, don't you? You don't care about his money most of the time. Well, you want his heart. You want to know him and be known at a level that no one else has. You want to be a partner with him. You want an intimate thing with him. And yet you are longing for him to conform because it's hard and pink, 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 pink. And hey, we're moving and we're together, but why do I feel so distant from him? Where is his heart? Well, here's a marriage that got manufactured in your strength. And whether he's right or sinful about it, he's backed away. Sometimes the silence of a room is telling. Because you know what I'm talking about. This is what happens. God says, do this in the power of the Spirit. Why? Because this is what sets you free. One of the greatest dangers of trying to do submission in your own strength is you begin to have to be sufficient. My heart is crushed when you have a woman who, she loves God and she wants change and everything, but she bears now the burden of sufficiency. Like somehow you're supposed to know what button to push and where to submit, and did I talk to him right, and did I do all of this stuff, and he's still distant, and your heart is angry at him, but you're really hurting inside too, aren't you? Like, what did I do? Or am I not desirable? And then all of your insecurities begin to play into it as well. Does this feel like an episode of Dr. Phil? I'm just telling you the truth. This is what happens. And suddenly, God says, I have a tool that will set you free. It is believing out of a love for Jesus Christ that you can follow a guy who's not everywhere you want him to be yet, and you can do that in the power of the Spirit. I've not waded into abuse cases or sin cases yet. I'm saying that God can lift the burden of you being sufficient from your shoulders, and suddenly your day in interacting with Him becomes an opportunity to see the power of the Spirit working. And it sets you free. Ultimately, where is safety for the gal? You love for Christ, in the power of Christ, but ultimately under the authority of Christ. Don't miss this, gals. When God asks you to submit, He says, as is fitting to the Lord, or as to the Lord, which means what? You submit to the authority of Jesus Christ first. He is the authority of your marriage. Guys, she does not first submit to your authority. If you are sinning, she does not have to follow you. God does not ask a woman to sin against her Savior. So consider how many times we think that it's easy to think that submission means that just trust me, follow me, do that without any response at all. No. God says for a wife, her heart is to be tuned to Christ. So what happens? Now here's the thing. I'll play out the scenario. Maybe this will be helpful. So many times we hear that and you think of like the great big issues, right? Oh, he's, you know, what if you have a husband and he's got a horrible gambling addiction? What do I do? Well, of course, I'm not going to submit to that. That would be sin. You know, is it big issue? Okay, that absolutely happens in marriage. But what God is talking about are the little moments that this happens every week. How many of you women, you're safe to say it in church, married a sinner who's in rebellion against Jesus 4 or 5 times a week? Oh, not openly, but his attitude is rotten, or he's missing it, or he's in conformity, he's just struggling and all that. This is where you come down to the fact that Jesus Christ is not your escape card. Jesus Christ is your stay in the game card. The nuance of marriage is that, maybe it's this way. How many of you ever heard that a wife should have a peaceful and quiet spirit? How many of you are neither peaceful or quiet? Well, does that mean you're sinning? Your personality regulates you to just stand in the corner and yes, dear, no, dear? Absolutely not. Do you know what peaceful and quiet spirit is talking about? It is talking about confidence in Christ. Guys, how many of you, your wife has saved your bacon so many times for stepping in front of you when you were about to walk off a cliff? In your immaturity, in your sinful spirit, you are about to put distance that you shouldn't have put in some situation. It was her sensitivity. It was her kindness in that moment and her spirit of love for you. You see, the thing is, God doesn't sanction a wife and tell her she's got to go along with sin. He does call her to walk patiently with her husband who is growing in her faith, trusting the Holy Spirit. But when you encounter that moment, the very heart of a wife shouldn't be, well, you violated Jesus, now it's my turn. No. It's my heart breaks for you, baby. I love you. I am for you. I long for your good. And in this moment, this is not good. But I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm for you. Why are these things so very important? Why does God want you to be patient in the pace and submit to a man who maybe not be as far down the road as you want him to be? Because God wants to unleash grace. I'll give you a couple of illustrations. These are more personal, and my wife is present, so I have to be careful. Early on in our, well, not even early on, it was a little while into our marriage, I suddenly became aware that I had been doing something that had been harming Kim. I'll give you the details, but it was a pattern of my life, and I had basically, in my immaturity, been taking it out on her and making her carry the weight for it. And God used another, it all kind of something. And I remember the night I went to her and I apologized. And I said, "Sweetheart, I think this is what I've been doing. I want you to know I'm sorry." Now, in the middle of that conversation, it turns out that she had been sitting on having that conversation with me for a couple years. She knew the whole time. I was furious. In my heart, I'm going, "What in the world? Am I a moron? You couldn't have told me? You couldn't have, wouldn't I have been loving enough?" I never said any of that out loud. You just need to know. But in my heart, I just bear. And then all of a sudden, I was broken by the fact that I wasn't even ready to have the conversation. I wouldn't have handled it. I would have blown it. It would have taken us. And then it hit me that she had followed me and loved me and been with me for years out of my brokenness. And we had grown for years so that I would actually even be in a place where God could do that in my life. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? Now, we could get up here and tell you all the things we've broken and it didn't go so hot. But that is the, in the sense of going, what does God's power unleash in a wife having a submissive spirit? It unleashes grace, you guys, in a way that is so necessary for men. I will just tell you this. For the men in the room, you're gonna recognize this. The issue for men is sufficiency. We are hardwired to ask the question, am I enough? Am I strong enough? Am I smart enough? Am I worthy of respect? That is core to a man. If two guys stand together long enough in a hallway, one's going to sock the other in the shoulder. Why? Because the question is, am I strong? So understand, when he comes into marriage, he doesn't come in as a hypocrite. What does he want to do? He wants to be strong. He wants to be sufficient. He wants to protect you. He wants you to be proud of him. But you know what happens when he comes into marriage? God uses you like a great big mirror, and the answer is, you're not. And it's very unsettling for a man. The very gift you gave me? This beautiful woman? We just went all that craziness and now we're together and what do I get for it? You're not enough, Duncan. In fact, you're weak. You're broken. And you got potholes. And the question is, what happens with a man? I'll tell you what happens outside of Christ, and a lot of times it happens in Christian marriages all the time. He begins to run into the fact that he's not sufficient. And he's got things he's got to grow in. But his whole world is framed by that. And he's got a flesh that just feeds into his pride and his sinfulness. So what does he begin to do? He begins to turtle up. And this begins to be the conversation that you have. How are you doing, honey? Good. How was your day? It was fine. Fine or fine? Oh, it was fine. And you do your wife thing and you start going, I'm going to get to his heart some way. And every time you're coming around the edges, you're going for it. You're like building him up. Maybe I'll butter him up for a little bit. Maybe he'll share. You know, maybe I'll cry. I'm just going to drop some tears. That usually makes him quaver a little bit. You know, you say you're being ridiculous. No, I'm not. And he's still silent. And you're hurt. And you're struggling. What is going on? The very partnership God has called you to is not a surface one. Amen? It's like deep. It's like God using you to mine up. And he brought you two together to love and trust Jesus. And she's exactly what you need, guys. And her heart wants to partner with you. But in all the insufficiency stuff, why can't we just play tennis? Good grief. Why can't we just stay on the surface? And then suddenly, guys, you kind of start dealing with reality that you're not God's gift to this woman in your own strength. So you begin to define the parameters of intimacy. Oh, and you know they're not enough for her heart, but they're just enough to keep you going together. And marriage gets lonely. And sufficiency gets heavy. And what does God want to do about it? He says, wife, I want you to have a submissive spirit to this guy who often turtles up and leaves you out of his life. And I want you to not do it in your strength. I want you to actually trust me. I'm the Holy Spirit. I don't sweat your husband. I actually hold every molecule in his body together, and I can do whatever I want with him. I want you to trust me. And you begin to do that. And what happens is, I don't care, guys, how well you plan, how protective you are of your heart, how much you can keep her at bay and just do the right things enough so that you never really have to go down the intimacy path. Here's what happens. Marriage is like revealing, isn't it? And you're going to sin and you're going to trip right in front of her. How many of you it's happened to you? How many of you happened to you? A lot. Well, in that moment, what is shocking to a man is when you don't stop following us. Another moment for Kim and I, another long-term pattern of brokenness that was in my life, and she was just after my heart. I don't know if you were in sin or not, but she was just boom, boom, boom. I'll have to answer for that later. But she was just asking me, and it was the conversation. It just kept happening, and I remember we got to this place where I never forget this conversation. I looked at her, and I'm an emotional guy, so I'm kind of like on the edge of emotion. And I just said, I do not know what to do. I don't have an answer, and I am so ashamed. And I just sat down, and I never forget her walking across the room and putting her arms around me and kissing me and saying, hey, how about we figure it out together? And then she kissed me again. And it wasn't one of those I'm sorry kisses. It was like, whoa. And you say, why would you even tell us that, John? I got to ask the answer to her about that too. Because in my mind, my paradigm just fell apart. I'm like, how can I be insufficient and broken and wrong and have you closer to me? What mysterious world is this where I share what I'm afraid of and you want a partner? And it began a new journey. I'm still on it. It's not perfect. But it's amazing. Because suddenly you begin to realize that if a woman's primary motivation for her submission is Jesus Christ, then there's always an opportunity for us men. There's hope for me to grow. Guys, I know stuff today. I didn't know before then, but they were not in my wheelhouse. And they came upon the grace of God, and suddenly being able to ask questions and seek growth without fearing that I was going to lose the heart of my wife because she was going to figure out that I was a moron. Most days. What does submission do? It unlocks the heart of your husband. You are not sovereign over the pace that it unlocks his heart. Jesus Christ is. But understand, ladies, if you want a reason why it's so powerful, because it's the same thing that Jesus Christ did in your heart. A love that does not fail. A place of safety that has forgiven you to the uttermost and is willing to walk with you and now power you and strengthen you. And a guy discovers that he doesn't have to be the hero. In fact, instead of avoiding your spiritual life, he's suddenly the champion of it. Why? Because the more you love Jesus, as shocking as it is, the more you love Him. In fact, Jesus becomes the key that unlocks all the facets of marriage. Amen. Ladies, God wants to take you on a journey into Himself. And He wants you to experience Him overcoming the brokenness of this world and the fears and the hardships and the things that all seem so big. So many of you have been married long enough that it's easy to get your husband in a box. The never change box. And I would say, he's up against the living God. My bet is on Jesus. Where's yours? Let's pray. Oh God, I hope there has been a sense of grace as I have said these things. You have called a wife for the sake of your son to submit to her husband. What a scary place of faith. But Lord, it is not her plan, it's yours. God, there are a lot of emotions, and some of them are so good. So many of the feelings this morning are yes and amen, because we know this to be true, and we've seen the power of grace unleashed when we love sacrificially and submit. But God, for those who are in the sore spot, it seems a lot to ask. Oh God, would your grace pour out this week? And before we look across the room at our spouse, would we look to Christ? Come honestly before the Lord. Ask God, deepen our relationship with Him, that it might be powerful in our life with our husband. Lord, I am not a wife, and if I missed it this morning, you know. But God, your grace is sufficient. We just cast ourselves upon you. Amen.